brethren, the question for today is this. Is the Holy Spirit another being, or is it the power of God? To you that are here, that's a no-brainer. To what happens to us after death, to you that are here, that's a no-brainer. But you on the tape, and you that may be hearing these tapes, it is a mystery to you. But it's not a mystery to the people of God because of obedience. You want to know the mysteries of God? Then start obeying God the way He says so. Start keeping His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments. And He'll start opening your eyes to truths that you've never dreamt of getting the answers to. Brethren, and you on the tape, and I know all of us that when we go into the Word of God, we always see something different. But there's times I almost have to put my head down in awe of the things that I've seen in the Word of God, and I've passed over it and passed over it and passed over it. And yet, I never saw what the Lord, what His intent was for the statements that He was saying. It's a wonderful thing to be able to go into the Word of God and have God speak to you or to me by His Word, and you understand what He's saying to you. Listen carefully, brethren. This is a question that the world does not understand. And when I say that we are a few, according to 6 billion people, and have the understanding that we have, we are a few and we are the little flock. Make no mistake about when Jesus Christ said, "That is my good pleasure," speaking of the Father, little flock, to give you and I the kingdom of God. Because we live in a world that, like Lot was living in, we're tempted sometimes almost beyond measure. But the Lord, I hope that you and I, brethren, are always dealing with the Spirit of God and not our spirit. Because that is your safety. You deal with your own spirit, you're already in big trouble. But if you deal with the Spirit of God and become one, like He says, to cleave to Him, like you would cleave to your own wife, that's where your safety is, brethren. And that's where my safety is. In my little corner of the world, I can't tell you the stupidness that I see and the things that I could get involved in quickly if I would be dealing with my spirit. I leave my spirit alone. Just like it's like, as far as I'm concerned, I try with all my heart to make sure, like, my spirit is dead. And I deal with the Spirit of God. And supposedly, and God, who cannot lie, says that we have the mind of Christ. Deal with that mind, brethren. Deal with that mind. Deal with that mind. Look, open your Bibles to Genesis 1. And let's get started right with the topic, which is, again, and I'll repeat it a few times in the talk that I'm having here. Is the Holy Spirit another being in the sermon? Is the Holy Spirit another being, or is it the power of God? Let's go right to Genesis 1, because that's where most of the people go to who have an agenda as far as the Spirit of God being another being. I will speak and comment. I'm only going to go through 1-3. Listen carefully, brethren. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and empty. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, listen, moved gently over the face of the waters. Brethren, when you're reading your Bible, that word gently is not there. But when you go to the interlinear, the Hebrew, in the Masoretic text, that word gently is there. And that is a pertinent word for you and I. Because God is spirit. He is not flesh. When God spoke in a whisper, does God have to speak always in a booming voice where you're scared out of your wits like the Israelites were? No. When he wants to do something, he spoke out of the fire, out of the wind, with a whisper. With a whisper. The same thing here. When you understand that God is spirit, and you understand that as he was moving across the waters, he moved gently across the waters. And then after that, you see what he started to do in verse 3. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Brethren, this is a ministry of teaching with understanding. These questions are very, very important, brethren. But it's very, very important, like I said in the beginning, that you have to have the interlinear Bible as your authority and your source. Because if you leave one word out, you can go with your imagination, and that's what we don't want to do. We want to go with the Word of God, what he said and what he inspired Moses to write. That word gently was there for a reason. For you and I would know that that was God Almighty in the before Jesus Christ was the Christ. This is the being that was moving gently over the water. This gentle God and meek God, but full of fierce anger when he needs to be. So look at how I'm swinging the pendulum, brethren. All the way from meek and gentle, wonderful, loving, merciful, all the way over to fierce and anger when he's had enough with society and mankind and his people, especially his people, who just dump his commandments and into the garbage pail. That's when he goes after them, and he brings like Babylon, Assyria, Rome, all these people against Germany, all against these people, because they're being hypocritical, just like he said in Matthew 23. I don't have the time to go there, but when you go there, see what the Lord spoke and said about these people and these men that were in authority. Listen carefully, brethren. Staying with topic, is the Holy Spirit another being, or is it the power of God? Brethren, turn with me to Judges. Judges. Judges 14. Judges 14, brethren. This is very, very important what I'm going to read here. So I'm going to read 14 and 15 in its entirety. Most of us have been there maybe once or twice, so however. But God's word, when it comes to questions, is very pertinent in different areas to let us know what he's talking about. Listen carefully, brethren. Again, is the Holy Spirit another being, or is it the power of God? And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Listen. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to be my wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, Is there not a woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you go to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared. In other words, in meeting him, like standing here, and a lion coming toward you. Picture this, if you're a human being, of a young lion. When I say a young lion, I mean one that's in his prime, with a mane of hair, and really going to tear your butt up. Listen carefully. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And it says he rent him. I said when I came to this spot, I would let Al know, and what we were talking about last night. This is very, very important for understanding. Let me read it once again. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. Now let me read it to you again, now with the interlinear. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore him apart as if he would have torn apart a kid. And he had nothing. And he had nothing in his hands. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now, brethren, when you look at that, and I've read this many times, when you look at that, that word rent doesn't really get into your head. But when you hear that he tore that lion apart, then you understand that that lion was exposed totally. He ripped him apart. That's why the bees and the honey was inside the lion. See, the sense of the matter is in God's word, but you have to have the correct understanding of it through the word of God. Listen carefully, brother. Now it makes all the sense in the world why it was inside the lion. Listen carefully. And he took thereof in his hands, and he went on eating the honey. And came to his father and mother, and he gave them. And they did eat. But he told them not that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast. For so use the young men to do. And it came to pass when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If you can certainly declare it, within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. But if you cannot declare it to me, then you shall give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth the riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice your husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we'll burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that what we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, you do hate me, and you love me not. You put forth the riddle unto the children of my people, and have not told it to me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it to my father, nor have I told it to my mother. And shall I tell it to you? And she wept before him the 7 days, while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, that it is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you not had plowed with my heifer, you had not found out my riddle. And again the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ascalon and slew 30 men of them, and took their clothes, apparel, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. 15, this is very, very important, because it is going to tell us the difference between the Spirit of God and the spirit of man. And it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, in other words, a little goat. And he said, I will go into my wife into the chamber. But her father would not allow him to go in. And her father said, I truly thought that you had utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she, more beautiful than she is? Take her, I pray you, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught, listen to this, and Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands and turned tail to tail, tied their tails together, and put a firebrand in the midst of between the two tails. We have a problem catching one. I doubt if one of us could catch a fox. and when he set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistine and burnt up both the shucks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and the olives. Then the Philistine said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son of the Timonite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father's house. In other words, killed them all. They killed them all. And Samson said unto them, though you have done this, yet will I avenge of you, and after that I will cease, And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock of Etam. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are you come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he has done unto us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, know you not that the Philistines are ruled over us? What is this that you have done unto us? And he said unto them, As they did unto me, so have I done unto them. And they went and said unto him, We are come down to bind you, that we may deliver you into the hands of the Philistines. And Samson said to them, Swear to me that you will not fall upon me yourselves. In other words, that you will not kill me yourselves. And they spoke unto him, saying, No, but we will bind you fast and deliver you into their hand, but surely we will not kill you. And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came to Leah, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax. Listen. They became as mere linen, as a man or a woman would tear linen. This man took those heavy new cords and busted out of them as if they were sheer linen that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosened from off his hand, and he found the jawbone of an ass, and he put it forth in his hand, and he took it, and he slew 1,000 men with it. And Samson said, With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass that when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramathilahi. And he was very, very thirsty. And he called on the Lord and said, You have given this great deliverance into the hand of your servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? Listen, brethren. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw. And there came out water thereof. And when he had drunk, his spirit came back. Listen, his spirit came back again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name, therefore, In Hakokoi, which is Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines. The point here is, brethren, that when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, it was the Holy Spirit, which we're going to find out is the power of God Almighty. But when it came down to him himself, that he was dying of thirst, we find that he speaks of that his spirit came back to him. The spirit of life which is in man. We're going to deal with that, but I'm trying to bring to you the understanding from the Old Testament into the New, that these things haven't changed. And we're going to find that we're dealing with the power of God, in essence, like you and I have today, and the Spirit that isn't within man. But we're going to let the New Testament also talk about this. Let's go to Psalms 51 first, and then we're going to shift gears into the New Testament, brethren. Psalms 51. Psalms, the 51st chapter, 1 through 13. The 51st chapter, 1 through 13. Listen carefully, brethren. Psalms 51, 1 through 13. Listen carefully, brethren. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. This is the psalm that David spoke of when he acknowledged his sins. Listen carefully. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, unto the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my sins, my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, lawless deeds, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins. My sin is ever before me. For against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, with the sin of Adam and Eve, not out of wedlock. Please understand that. We all were born with original sin. Listen carefully, brethren. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you shall make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. In other words, in righteousness. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my lawless deeds. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We're going to find now that he's talking about the Holy Spirit of God that you and I have today. And we all are praying and always wanting this here, that we would have a clean heart and avoid evil. Listen, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me, listen carefully, and uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. Did not Peter say the same things in Acts 5:32, brethren? That in order to have the Spirit of God, that you have to be obeying God? Did not Paul say in Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10 that we must have the commandments of God in our hearts, where he was quoting from Jeremiah 31:31? Speaking there, of course, of the New Testament, and it says so in Jeremiah 31:31. Brethren, we understand these things. But I say that we understand it. But we must adhere to our understanding. We must not go and practice lawless deeds. The Lord will be heavy-handed with you and I. And none of us want to come under and have the Lord looking at you and command you with a heavy hand. We want the Lord to know that we're trying our best and that we do not practice sin, brethren. If we're practicing sin according to 1 John 3, we are nothing but agents and sons of Satan the devil. I'm paraphrasing, but it's there, because we're practicing sin. And the Lord said in John 8, and John says that he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. You have to be very, very careful and hang on words that God has given us. We don't have to be college graduates or computer wizards, because God has all them beat. He's given you and I, which the world would consider ignorant, more wisdom than they would ever imagine, because here lies the kingdom of God and eternal life. Not in computers and intellect that they could quote and add up phenomenal figures. There's nothing there for that, except intellectually. I'd rather know what I know right here and have my treasures, and I hope you're the same way, in the kingdom of God. That's where we are, brethren. And that's where we should be. The rest, as far as God is concerned, is nothing but nonsense and hogwash. This is the real deal. Listen carefully, brethren. Listen carefully. Let's shift gears. Let's shift gears and let's go into the New Testament. Matthew 3. Let's start out Matthew 3. Brethren, Matthew 3. Matthew 3. 13 through 17. I want you to listen carefully. This is the angel of the Lord speaking. That in other gospels says, I stand in front of the throne of God. Do you believe? Would you believe an angel of God if he told you these things? I hope so. I know I would. And no matter where the Lord told me to go, I would go, because he said so. They say these things about Abraham, and it was a thing of faith. But brethren, if the Lord spoke to you, would you go? Would it be faith that you went and left your family and everything? If the Lord spoke to you? Now, I could see, and I'm not trying to break the scriptures, but to me, if the Lord told me I was going to have a child also in my later years, and the Lord told me that, I would believe him. You know, it depends on how you classify what faith is. Faith to me is things unseen. That's what faith is to me, and that's what the Hebrews 11 is all about. Faith, unseen. That we believe God, that these men also believe God, and they're waiting for the promise. Samson's in there. So is the harlot that said a lie to protect God's people. She's in waiting for the promise also. And guess what? So is the thief on the cross. He's not mentioned, but he's there. He's in that promise waiting for exactly what you and I are waiting for. But if you're not doing what we're doing and what we did last night, the Passover, the Lord says that you will not have eternal life. He is the one that stands in the gap. He's the one that stands at the door, and you don't get past that door unless Jesus Christ says, come in, gently. Or he stops you right there. No. What's reserved for you is Gehenna fire. And that's where you will go. You can take that to the bank, or you will come into the heavenly realm where we're all looking for. This world right now, as I speak, is nothing but garbage. Nothing but garbage. And the only reason why the Lord hasn't come and take these people out is because of you and I. That's the only reason. But when push comes to shove, the Lord said that for our sake, he will cut those days short. For our sake, the saints that are obeying God Almighty, for their sake, he's going to cut this garbage short. And I like to quote what John said in the end. Lord, in other words, I'll paraphrase, let your kingdom come. I'm ready right now to go into the kingdom of God. I'm sure you all are. Listen carefully, brethren, what the Lord has to say to his angel. Listen. Starting at verse 13 through 17. Listen carefully. Let me just see what's going on over here. Make sure I got the right deal over here. This is the Lord speaking, not the angel. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. I've got the right scriptures that I want to go to. This is the Lord speaking, brethren. Then Jesus, starting at verse 13 through 17, listen. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. Then Jesus answered and said to him, you must permit me at this time, for in this manner it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. What was Jesus Christ doing at that time? Christ came full of the Holy Spirit. He was setting forth a symbolism for you and I, so you and I would be baptized, symbolizing death, getting rid of our sins of the past, and doing the best we can, and receiving the Holy Spirit, because it was only Him that could baptize with power. John could never baptize with power. It says so. And I've said this before. All these people that want to say that Jesus Christ did not have the Holy Spirit, it's almost abominable to come out with something like that. But this was the deal. John said clearly that he could not give the Holy Spirit. He baptized with water only, and that there was one coming greater than he, that he wasn't even fit to untie or tie his shoelaces, that he was the one that would baptize with power and fire. We also, when we go into John, we find though his apostles baptized, and it was made very, very clear that at that time, Jesus baptized no one. It was made very clear because it's pertinent to what I'm saying here also. Listen carefully, brethren. But you have to go a little here and a little there to find these things out. It's not in one paragraph or one page. It's just not there. Listen, verse 16. And after he had baptized Jesus, Jesus came up immediately out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I have great delight." Only showing another form of the Holy Spirit that came upon him. Let me ask you something, brethren. When we were baptized and laying on of hands with oils of the things of that nature, could you or I tell me that the Lord didn't allow that Spirit to come upon us as a dove and then come into us? There's a good possibility of that. Why not? Why not? It signifies the Holy Spirit of God as much as oil signifies the Holy Spirit, as much as water signifies the Holy Spirit. These are all things that signify the Spirit of God. But notice, it came upon him as a dove. How, if it was a being, why didn't it come upon him as some glorified figure other than a dove? But we're walking our way through this just to get an understanding of what the Spirit of God is. And that, brethren, it is not a being. This is what the intent of what the question is. Is the Holy Spirit another being, or is it the power of God? Listen carefully, brethren. Go with me, please. And of course, behold, verse 17, and behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I have great delight." Brethren, Luke 1. This is where the angel of God speaks. One that is in front of the throne of God. Listen carefully. Luke 1:26-35. Listen. And in the sixth month of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the lineage of David, and the name of the virgin was Mary. And after coming to her, listen, The angel said, "Hail you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you, blessed are you amongst women." But when she saw him, she was greatly perplexed at his message and was considering what kind of a salutation this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, because you have found grace with God. And behold, you have conceived in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of David, his forefathers. He shall reign over the house of Jacob into the ages, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" And the angel said, Listen. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. For this reason, the Holy One being begotten in you shall be called the Son of God." Brethren, I've said this many times, if the Holy Spirit is a being, then God the Father is not the Father of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is. And this is almost a no-brainer, but the idea is, brethren, and you on the tape, you have to go with words. It says, "And the power of the Highest came upon her," will come upon you. The power of God emanates from God himself, and he has the ability, listen, he has the ability to dole it out in measure as he sees fit. Or if that's not so, then how does this one being that we, most of Christianity, calls a being in every single one of you? But if it's the power of God, the way God says it is, then he could take, however he does it, a piece of his spirit and put it in each and every single one of us, which he does, and he has. Listen carefully, brother. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 2. I want you to hear this very, very clearly. I'm trying to bring this in continuity as best as I possibly can from the Spirit of God, and I believe it has so far. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 2, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter 4 through 16. I want you to listen. 2 Corinthians 2, starting at verse 4 through 16. Paul speaking. "And my message and my preaching was not in persuasive words of human wisdom, rather it was a demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Listen carefully. "And of power. So that your faith may not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now we speak wisdom among the spiritually mature, which the world is not spiritually mature, because they are not obeying God." Listen. "However, it is not the wisdom of this world, nor of the rulers of this world who are coming to nothing. Rather, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom that God foreordained before the ages unto our glory," listen, "which not one of the rulers of this world has known, and may I add, still does not know, For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But according as it is written, the eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those that love Him. You're writing scripture to us by His Spirit. From this point on, listen intently. But God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Listen, for who among men understands the things of a man except by the Spirit of man which is in him? You have a Spirit within you, plus the Holy Spirit of God. When you understand what God wants you to do and I to do, He joins to your spirit a piece of His Spirit. But the main thing is, it's showing that man has a spirit within him. Listen. In the same way also, the things of God no one understands except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is of God, so that we might know the things graciously given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit, in order to communicate spiritual things by spiritual means. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. However, the one who is spiritually discerned, discerns all things, but he himself is discerned by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who shall instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that's the mind and the spirit that you and I need to follow. The mind of God that is being able to be given to join your spirit, just as it said that the spirit of man has a spirit within him, so does the Spirit of God, so does God have the Spirit within him, but he was able to dole it out. You and I could not give my spirit to any of my grandchildren or anybody sitting here, but God can. But it's being shown that this spirit emanates from within God Almighty, and the Holy Spirit is not standing next to God as a being. It is the power that emanates from God Almighty. That's where the Spirit of God emanates from, not another being. Listen carefully, brethren. Okay, I should have, well, I had it there. Let's go 1 Corinthians 1-4. 1 Corinthians 1-4. This is very, very pertinent. I could have started with it or not, because when you see what I've got to say, it makes no difference as far as where I started. 1-4, I want you to listen, and I want you to put this into your minds, and I hope for you on the tape that the Spirit of God will give you a piece of His Spirit, so you will be able to understand what I'm saying here, even with this simple thing that my grandchildren could understand. Listen carefully. 1-4. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God, and Silas, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth. Listen. The called saints who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, together with all those in every place who are calling on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Remember the definition of a saint. Revelations 14:12. The saints are them that keep the commandments of God. And of course you find that in Revelations 12:17, where it also says that they have also the testimony of Jesus Christ. But I go there because it's the definition, because the word saints are there. Those are the saints of God. We don't have to have a man to tell us that, okay, today you're a saint, you're a saint, you're a saint. No. That's the Catholic Church, the mother of all harlots, and them that came out of her. Listen, if you're not a saint of God right here and now, or called and chosen, then you're not going to be in the first resurrection, because you need those credentials. And you need to be an obedient one to have those credentials. Just because you call on the name of Jesus Christ and the Father, that does not mean that you're going to be there. Because when you go to Matthew 7, it says, in that day, paraphrasing, they will come to me saying that I did this, 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 and this in your name. Yet, what does the Lord say? He says, get away from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawless deeds, which only could be that you are them that did not and would not keep the commandments that were brought down from Moses. That's all it could mean. And when you go to the fairs, you will find that there. Like we were talking about last night. Because these men, and a lot of people have problem with other men writing truths, because God uses who He pleases, they write these things down. God allows them to write these things down, but they themselves do not see it, nor do they do it. It's there for you and I to be able to go there and back it up. Back it up and say, it's there. How wonderful that is, for your eyes only, not for them, brethren. The mysteries have not been given them to see. Again, according to Matthew 13, verse 11. Listen carefully. To the church of God in Corinth, the saints who have been sanctified in Jesus Christ, together with all those in every place who are calling on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Listen. Grace and peace. Favor and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you mean to tell me Paul, being taught as far as in Galatians, would have disrespected the third party of the Trinity by not mentioning the name and put the Holy Spirit there? Listen, brethren, listen carefully. No, they would have never disrespected that being had it been a being. But since it's the power of God, and I just came off of Corinthians 2 showing you this clearly. Listen clearly, because this is very, very important. We know these things, but mainly I'm saying these things because who knows where these tapes are going to go? They can go any place. They need to be told the truths in God Almighty, and then let God deal with them the way He needs to deal with them. And if they understand these things, they will come either here or to another church who's preaching the gospel of God Almighty and Jesus Christ the way we are. That's what the understanding of God draws you out, that you have to go and find out the rest of the story. You're compelled. You're compelled to go there. Listen, brethren, I still remember, though it's 18, 19 years ago, being drawn by a television program that I had to go find where this church was. That was God Almighty drawing me there. He never drew me there before. I was deep in garbage. He had to pull me out by the back of my neck out of the gaga that I was in. And most of us were there too. I'm not alone. And I'm not ashamed to say that I was. Listen carefully, brethren. Verse 4. And I thank my God always concerning you, saints of God. That's what he's saying here. And I thank my God always concerning you for the favor of God that has been given to you in Christ Jesus. Very, very important what's being said here. And very important what is left out on purpose. They left it out on purpose because they know the difference. You cannot go to any of the salutation and find one place that it says, and blessed be to our Lord God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. You will not find it. I challenge you to find it. You will not find it. You won't find it. Because all those men, whether it was James, John, Peter, Paul, they all knew the deal, as we know the deal. Listen carefully, brethren. Romans 8. Romans 8. Of course, this is, I always say this, this is one of my favorites in the book of Romans. 5-17, brethren. Romans 8, 5-17. For those who walk according to the flesh, mind the things of the flesh, but those who walk according to the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, has a hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. Listen carefully. But those who are in the flesh cannot please God, because they're not obeying Him. It just said it. Just back up and read what it's saying here. They cannot please God because they're in the flesh and they're not obeying God. Listen. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you, but if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. But if God is within you, the body is indeed dead because of sin. However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Because we do not practice sin anymore, we recognize what the laws of God are, and we try with everything we hold holy with the Spirit of God not to do and commit sin willfully. Now, if the Spirit of Him raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies because of the Spirit that dwells within you. The Father raised Jesus Christ by His power that comes out of Him. He raised Christ, and Christ put all His eggs in the basket that He knew that His Father would not leave Him there. Listen. So then, brethren, we are not debtors of the flesh to live according to the flesh. Because if you are living according to the flesh, you shall die. But if you, by the Spirit, are putting to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. In other words, relying on the Spirit of God and not your spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God and the daughters of God. Now you have not received the spirit of bondage, again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship, where we call out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness conjointly with our spirit, testifying that we are the children of God. Now, if we are children, we are also heirs, truly heirs of God and jointly heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer together with Him, so that we may be glorified together with Him. We're not going there, but you on the tape, you need to read in its entirety the faith chapter of Hebrews 11 and see who the characters of the Old Testament were playing in there, which I mentioned Samson, and there's others that are mentioned there. These are the players like you and I. If there was a book in order to contain all them that died in God the Father and the God of the Old Testament, which was Christ, I believe that this county wouldn't be enough to store the books that would be showing who these character players are and who are in, named one after the other, just like they have the Vietnam vets listed and named. Your name would be there. That's what the faith chapter is all about, brethren. But you have to be obeying like those men were obeying. But God, of course, I always have to say this because it's very, very important, that God can always put whom He wills into the kingdom of God, even though you don't like it and I don't like it. But if God wills it, it's fine with me. If He says that Hitler is going to come into the kingdom of God, so be it. And that should be our attitudes, brethren. That should be our attitudes. Listen carefully, brethren, please. Romans 5. Oh, no. 1 John, we're right down to the nitty gritty. 1 John 5, 1 through 8. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. 1 John 5. 1 John 5, 1 through 8. Listen carefully. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been begotten of God, and everyone who loves Him who is begotten also loves Him who has been begotten by Him. Okay? Now, when you go to the book of John, you will see that most of Christianity says this, and they're correct, that if you call on the name of Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Now, but listen what John says. Listen. Everyone who believes that Jesus Christ has been begotten of God, and everyone who loves Him, who is begotten, also loves Him, who has been begotten by Him. But listen. Listen what else is said. By this standard, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. So when you go to John and see these things, you have to go to other scriptures that most of Christianity can say that. We could say that. But are they obeying God by keeping the first day of the week? No, they're not. So they fall short of what's said right here. Is this part of the Word of God, or am I talking through a magazine or something? This is also the Word of God, but this is also the rest of the story. You have to be obeying God in this context. Listen. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. This same thing is said in Exodus 20, and that is New Testament doctrine, because Christ Himself said before He became Christ that to love God, when He was speaking about the commandments of God, that to love God you have to keep the commandments of God. This is New Testament doctrine also. Listen. Now then, everyone who is begotten by God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? Even the one who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but coupled up with keeping the commandments of God. This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus the Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. This is the Spirit that bears witness, because of the Spirit is the truth. The next verse that I'm quoting is accurate. It's not been added. I'm talking in the Byzantine a Greek text, not out of the King James. That was verse 8 was added by the Catholics. But I'm going to quote it as it's quoted in the Interlinear Bible, our authority. And there are three that bear witness on the earth: the Spirit, and the water and the blood, and these three witness unto one truth. That's the way it should read, brethren. If we accept the witness of men, the witness of God is superior. For this is the witness of God which he has witnessed concerning his son. James 2, then we're going for the last scripture. James 2, brethren. James verse 2, listen carefully. James 2, verse 26. Listen carefully. Of course, he gives, I'm going to start at 25. He also gives this harlot credence, which he did. Now, in the same manner also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when, after receiving the messengers, she sent them out a different way? Listen. For as the body is without the spirit is dead, in the same way also faith without works is dead also. Showing the significance that you have a spirit in you, and also showing that when that spirit is gone, you are dead. But it's also showing, going with 1 Corinthians 2, that the spirit of man and the spirit of God are exactly what they are, as it's said through the scriptures, and that are being. The last scripture was going to be found in the book of Ephesians. Scriptures, but it's very, very quick. And it needs to be said, brethren. Ephesians 1 through 3. Again, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, that's why I'm leaving you with this, and you on the tapes. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. Drop down to verse 12 and 13. That we might notice that the Holy Spirit wasn't mentioned there, not once. That we might be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after believing, you were sealed with the Spirit of promise. May God bless us all.